What a delight, what a joy it is to know that we belong to the Lord. As one reads in chapter 5, the evidence of those who are children of disobedience, children of wrath, what a real joy to know that God in His wonderful grace and love has made the provision whereby men and women can be transformed into the children of God. And as we've had here in chapter 5 of this book of Ephesians, in these first 7 verses, we are to walk in love, even as God loved us, and even as Christ loved us, and gave Himself as a sacrifice for us. And then you remember verses 3 to 6, we had a warning. And Paul keeps contrasting the difference between the unregenerate heart and the one who has come to know the Savior. And in these verses, from verses 3 down through verse 6, you have the habitual life of those who are unregenerate. Sin characterizes the children of disobedience, whereas love ought to characterize the children of God. And he has been talking about the sins that bring the wrath of God upon men. And may I just suggest here, it's rather an amazing thing. There are certain sins in the Bible, in the life of men, which seems to merit more than any other sin the wrath of God. The measure of the wrath of God upon the unregenerate is determined by their sinfulness, and especially these sins of moral corruption. I wonder if we Christians realize the awfulness of moral corruption in the sight of God. You start at the book of Genesis, read through your whole Bible, it just seems as if these sins are particularly obnoxious to God. You see, when God made man and woman, He made them one for a purpose, that they might be used by God for not only the promulgation of the race, but of manifesting a relationship, a wonderful relationship that can be between people of the opposite sexes, revealing this union there is between Christ and His people. And hence, the measure of wrath of God upon men is determined by their sinfulness, and especially these sins of which He speaks here, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, fornication, uncleanness, vicious greed, offensive speech, deceitful talk, lewd stories. These are the things that God hates. Now it's true that the destination of the unsaved is because of their disobedience to the gospel. But the measure of the wrath of God upon them is determined by their sinfulness. For example, you come to Revelation chapter 20. Another book is opened, which is the book of life. Oh, I may go a little before that. And the books, it's a plural, the books were opened, and everyone was judged according to what was written in the books. That's the measure of the wrath of God upon you. But your destination, I read, another book was opened, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And you and I are to walk as become as saints. Hence, let none of these things be mentioned among us. And then we come to verse 7, the call for Christians is to separation. Separation from these things. Indeed, I would suggest to you that the very first step in a walk with God is separation. You go back into the book of Genesis and follow through the life of this man, Abram. It was a call to leave his country, his kindred, his father's house. Then he was asked to leave Lot. Then he was asked to give up Ishmael. Then eventually he was asked to give up Isaac. The very first step in a walk with God is separation from evil. And how can we, who are the beloved children of God, live as the children of disobedience? Let it not be once named among you. We are not to be partakers with the lawless sinners in their deeds, but rather let us be imitators of God and walk in love. Now, I needn't say any more about this because it's so obvious that if I am a child of God, as you have it here in these first 7 verses of Ephesians chapter 5, I'm to walk in love even as Christ loved me. And I'm not backward again in repeating. Christ's love for his Father was evident by obedience. And Christ's love for people was manifested by sacrifice. Your love for God is measured by your obedience to his word. And your love for each other is manifested by your sacrifice. God deliver us from these selfish lives that produce nothing else but worry, no love, no joy, no peace. The selfish life is a deadening life. God grant that you and I may so walk before God in his fellowship that we shall display by our lives our love for each other and our obedience to his word. Now we come to the fourth exhortation of Paul for the walk of the Christian. May I repeat them again in chapter 4. We are to walk in unity, in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, the first 16 verses. And we are to walk in a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, all things become new. And he picks up the things we shouldn't do and the things we should do. In the first seven verse of chapter 5, we are to walk in love. And Christ is given to us as the pattern that he warns us concerning those who are children of disobedience and how they live, the pattern of their life. And then the call for us is to separation. Now, I know separation is not a very nice thing to talk about. Nobody loves separation. But I tell you, my friend, if you're going to be pleasing to God in your life, then you must separate yourself from that which is very offensive to God. And these sins which he mentions in verses 3 down to verse 6 are offensive to God. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye partakers with them. Now shall we go on. From verses 8 to 14, we are to walk in the light. Allow me to read. As children of God, we walk in love. Now, as a child of God, I am to walk in light. So I read verse 8. For you were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now let us look at this for a few moments. As children of God, who is love, we are to walk in love. And now, as children of light, we are asked to walk in light. We once were in darkness. Now, this is a position. Verse 8. Ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is a position that we have, just like we have in verse 1. We are children of God in verse 1. Now, in verse 8. We are to walk as children of light, for God is light. Again, I repeat it, God is love. We are the child of one who is love, hence walk in love. And that life is evidenced by sacrifice. Now, as children of light, hence walk in the light. Not only are we in the light, but we are to walk in the light, and his light is in them. Did you ever stop to think that this is a revelation of the character of God? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, this is the message which we declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we are in the light and walk in darkness, we're liars. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the character of God. He is absolute in holiness. You remember John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In chapter 9, verse 5, he tells us to walk. As long as we are in the light, let us walk in the light. The night cometh when no man can walk. So as children of God who is love, we evidence by sacrifice. And now as the children of God who is light, we are to walk in the light. And this has to do, I repeat it, with the holy character of God. We're no longer children of the night. We are children of the day. In Thessalonians chapter 5, the 5th verse, we are children of the day. In Colossians chapter 1:13, he's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Romans chapter 13, 12-13, we are to walk as children of the day. And likewise in John chapter 12, verses 35-36. And one can multiply the scriptures. Not to follow Christ means to walk in darkness. And my friend, the unsaved live in the dark. They walk in the dark. Where else can they walk but in the dark? But you're children of God. You're children of the day. We're children of light. Now this is the position he has given to us. And because this is our position as children of light, the appeal is for us to walk in the light, not in darkness. In fact, when we come to Romans 13, which I shall mention again, we manifest this fact by doing certain things. And today I want you to walk before God, not only as in love, as the child of one who is love, but I'm to walk in light, because he himself is light. God is light, and in him is no variableness by shadow of turning. And I want to say to you, my friend, we are different to the man out of Christ. This calls for a life of separation. This calls for a life that will glorify him. And start today, whatever your past may have been, my friend, with its failures and its weaknesses, all right. God understands that. He understands when nobody else does. But he wants you to walk in light as well as in love. And God bless you today as you think on Christ, your blessed Savior.